Hey, this is Pearls and Swines. I'm Levi. Across from me sits Travis. And to my right is John. Today we are going to be continuing on with our Advent talks and kind of really looking at the Christmas story and what it has to offer us. What's weird about the Christmas story is there's only four chapters that it really talks about the Christmas story. And yet each year we're supposed to preach and teach on the Christmas story. It's a pretty significant holiday.
Which chapter do they talk about Santa? I'm waiting
for
that one.
Yeah, you had me confused. I was thinking Ralphie and, the Christmas story and fuzzy bunny pajamas.
I did the wrong research for this.
The wrong research for this one. All right. Well, we've been talking about this idea of unwrapping the Christmas present and the present unwrapped. What was your favorite gift that you guys have ever unwrapped?
That's an easy one for me.
What's your easy one?
I always think about this. The year that I got my Game Boy.
Game Boy.
Yep.
Game Boy was sweet.
And I got it a few years after its
prime. Talking like color or just old school?
The big gray one.
Okay.
It was awesome though.
Yeah. It was great. We got it like most things like that when I was growing up. I got it a few years after its prime. So there was deals, you know?
Yeah.
So I got a bunch of games and weird accessories and it was great. Looking back on it now as a parent, I'm like, I bet that was a pretty cheap, satisfying gift at the time because it was older at that point. But man, that was a good Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one I remember is back when action figures were cool for kids. I don't know if kids still play with action figures, but it was
You mean dolls?
No, I mean action figures. But this one was cool because it was a Bruce Wayne guy and it came with the little Batman mask and the cape was attached to it. And so you basically got two in one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that was super awesome.
So 1 year, I got a Nintendo 64, which was pretty awesome.
Whoa.
And a triple fat goose coat. Remember the triple fat goose coats? You might be too young for that, but they were pretty sweet.
I don't think
sweet.
I knew that name, but as soon as you said it, I had a picture in my head, and I think I know.
Yeah, they were like really Buffy. In, and then they kind of went gangster.
Is that like the one that They're the kid
long?
On?
Mine wasn't long. Mine was kind of the shorter version.
Kid on Elf wears one. It's a big puffy coat like that. Did yours have a hood?
No, mine was like the shorter version.
What color?
It was a weird color, if I remember. I think it was like mustard color.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Which mustard is not my Pantone, so that worked with my skin color. So I don't know what they were thinking. But putting gifts in the box is actually a pretty difficult task. My wife, she is a gift card person. She likes the gift card. She says it's a twofer. You get the surprise of the gift card, and then you get the event of spending the gift card. I, on the other hand, think it's cheating. Yeah. I want to try to think about what would be useful for this person? What would be good for this person? How do I know this person and what would excite them? Maybe I put too much pressure on myself thinking in those terms. For my wife, I just get her a gift card. So, yeah.
Wait, you have rules and regulations. You want people to give you a gift and think about it. You don't want a gift card.
Yes, I do, Travis.
Okay. All right. But you get off the hook for your wife.
That's what she likes. I usually don't do that, though. I usually try to get her something. Last year, I think I bought her something that she didn't open till December of the next year.
Oh.
And then she's like, oh, this thing is wonderful. Hopefully she's not listening because she doesn't talk like that and I'll get hit for that.
That was a weird depiction you just did. I've met her and that's...
Yeah. So, but I think putting something in the box is a part of the pressure of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
We all have traditions. We all have things that we are connected to, but we have kind of, I don't want to say commercialized Christmas, but we have at some level. Yeah. You know, some of our brothers and sisters of the past wouldn't even celebrate Christmas. Part of the reason, I think, for that was that they understood that Christmas was connected to Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And so they saw it as a preface of a book to get to Easter. As I thought about that, one of the things I was thinking about is in the text that John's going to read, it actually tells us they're actually kind of right in this thing. And so listen to John as he reads Matthew chapter 1. This is the very beginning. This is the New Testament. This is Matthew. He's writing to a Jewish audience, and he is speaking to them about the Christmas story. Remember, the Christmas story wasn't given to us so that we could have a holiday. the Christmas story was given to us so that we would know God a little bit more, that it would correct us, it would change us, it would move us. It's the inspired word of God that John is about to read.
All right. Just tell me when to stop. How
through 25.
Through 25, right.
Yeah.
This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
So in those words that were given to us to depict the birth of Christ, this long-awaited Messiah that people had been waiting for a very long time for him to come, we have quotes like, people that are in the church world will know this, what, Jesus is the reason for the season. And that sounds nice. It's just not true. Jesus isn't the reason for the season. In that text, it actually tells us the reason for the season. In the very opening of the New Testament, it tells us that she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Mm-hmm. Well, the reason that Jesus isn't the reason for the season is because Jesus has been around forever. He is God. He is God in the bod. Genesis talks about this, that when the creation of the world was being spoken into existence, Jesus was there. They're sitting around going, how are we going to make humans?
Yep.
Let's make them in our image. Jesus was there. Jesus was and is and always will be because he is God. And so Jesus isn't the reason for the season. He's always been around. Sin is the reason for the season. And that is repeated over and over in the four chapters of the Christmas story.
I love what you said earlier about how early Christians, what you brought up about early Christians focusing much more on Easter, which, you know, I was thinking about it earlier this week, and it would be like, I have to go back a long ways as a Bear fan to find a Super Bowl victory, but it's like if we celebrated the 85 Bears arriving to the stadium more than we celebrated the victory of the, you know, them winning the game, you know, it's kind of an odd thing. So just that analogy has been running through my head this week already.
Yeah. The other thing I was thinking about in this is that when it says good news, it's not that, you know, this little baby was born in a manger, mm-hmm. born into poverty, born out in the open to a mother and father of very low ranking.
Mm-hmm.
That's the story of lots of people, and we don't celebrate them, right?
Right.
That's not the good news.
Yeah. I mean, certainly there's some miraculous aspects to Jesus' birth and, you know, looking back at the prophecy. But yeah, you're right. That's not why we're celebrating.
No.
You know.
But I think the good news of it is that a Savior is born.
Yeah. Yeah. Christmas would not be – I don't think it would be the kind of the culmination. I mean, it really feels like the culmination of our year in our culture, because it's, you're getting to the end of the year. It's the last big holiday, you know, if you don't count New Year's, which is a little different, but you know, it's meaningless without Easter, without the victory over sin and death, without that offer for grace and forgiveness and freedom from sin. Christmas doesn't matter if that doesn't happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you think of Luke chapter 2, that he kind of repeats this whole mm-hmm. idea. The angels come, the shepherds are probably tinkling in their drawers because they're so scared. And they say basically, hey, don't be afraid.
Right.
Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. So not just the Jewish people, but every person mm-hmm. on the face of the earth. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And so there's this connection to Jesus. But the reason that God came in the bod wasn't just to come in the bod. Yeah. It was because we had a problem, and that problem was sin. And yeah. So the good news is that a Savior has come and that you can be freed from that. It goes on in that story in Luke, and there's the old codger. What's his name?
Simeon.
So Simeon comes. He's this old codger, and he basically he's on his deathbed, it seems mm-hmm. like. Mm-hmm. And he says, oh, now I can die in peace.
Yeah.
I have seen your salvation. And he's talking to God. He's like, I've seen it. Yeah. I've seen the Savior. I've seen your salvation. What are they being saved from? It's over and yep. over in the narrative. And we celebrate it as, 8.7 ounce baby Jesus, woo woo. And really, it's the sins of the world are going to rest on his shoulders.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the reason that there's nothing in the text there's the one story where he's like 12 years old and he's in the temple, but we actually have no idea what happens between his birth and about 2 years old. You have that incident where he's in the temple and then he got nothing.
Yeah.
We don't know. What did he do when he was 21, right? what happened? And we don't know any of this till he hits 30.
Right.
Part of the reason is I think that's intentional because it's mm-hmm. I think he did things, obviously. Mm-hmm. There was things happening, but it wasn't the time yet. And so it's very connected to he starts his ministry at 30. So you have the birth, you have that 12-year-old piece of passage
yep.
that he's growing in knowledge and wisdom. Mm-hmm. He's able to teach in the temple. So he's growing up in this stuff. And then you have him starting his ministry at age 30. And you're like, what in the world? Well, part of it is that next stage of this was he was born. Then he was proving who he really was. He does these miracles. Is it in Isaiah? Is it 65 maybe? Where it talks about he was we think of Jesus, long flowing hair.
Yeah, right.
Beautiful man. Right. And
talks about him being normal.
Yeah.
What's the word it uses?
He's like the kid you'd walk by in the hall in school. There's nothing special about him, basically. And you see that sometimes, he escapes in the crowd. They're trying to grab him, and he escapes. How did he escape? Well, it's because he's so normal looking. I think he's just where did he go? He looks like everyone else.
Wait, you mean he wasn't glowing everywhere he went? I just looked at a manger scene this morning. That baby was glowing.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, so Simeon says salvation, and then right under this, there's an old lady. Her name's Anna. Mm-hmm. And it says that she was married for 7 years, and then she was widowed for 84.
Cool. So
that's 91 plus, let's say she got married. Let me say she got married early. She's 15. Mm-hmm. She's mm-hmm. into the triple digits of age.
Yeah.
We're pretty confident on that. Mm-hmm. And she says that, hey, this is redemption here. This is the thing that's going to, and she sees the baby Jesus. And she recognizes that redemption is coming out of him. Well, what are they being redeemed from? What are they being bought back from? What the redeemed in theological terms means to buy back. What are they being redeemed from? They're being redeemed from their sin. Mm-hmm. It's all through the Christmas story, but you never get that on the old Hallmark card.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no movies on the Hallmark channel about that either.
You've watched them all.
I think I've probably seen them all, yeah.
It strikes me as we're talking about this right now, how often after Jesus' death and resurrection, how often his resurrection is talked about and how little his birth is talked about.
Right.
This is hard to say right now as we're in this beautiful season of Christmas and we have a lot of traditions that I think are really valuable and helpful around this, making this season special. But I think if you look historically at this, this is hitting that same point again, just the salvation and the resurrection, that was the point to redeem us from our sins. That's the point of why Jesus comes. And so to get hung up, and I've thought about this since, for the last few years as a child, Christmas was the best holiday ever, you know. And as I've gotten older and hopefully more mature in my faith and my understanding of God's word, I go, oh, we are an Easter people.
Yeah.
Christmas is special and I love it and it's a great time to celebrate. It's worth celebrating. We should.
It's the preference.
Yeah.
It's
– yeah.
No Christmas, no Easter.
Right.
But Easter's the main event.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's like, you know, you get to the party – not to say that Jesus is an appetizer, but like that's the start of the party. There's some appetizers out. You get to visiting with people and you hang and, but yeah. Then there's the big meal or the big event, you know, and that is Easter. And that's what we look forward to. That's why we have hope in Jesus, because he defeated death. He defeated mm-hmm. our sin. Mm-hmm. So I think that's absolutely right. Like we are a Easter people, but you look around, Christmas is the preference. Nobody's hanging up lights outside their house for Easter and doing, you know, big inflatable Homer Simpsons or whatever.
Yeah. And part of that is because of who Jesus is. I think we like the baby Jesus.
Mm-hmm. It's easy to like a baby, you know?
Well, he needs us.
Yeah.
He's growing up. And we like the baby Jesus because it doesn't force us to do anything. Mm-hmm. I think that's where Easter comes in.
Well, because he goes from baby to king, like warrior king at the point of Easter, like slaying death and sin and coming back from the dead. Like, who does that? That's mm-hmm. not baby work. No.
Herod, I think, understood this.
Mm-hmm.
Herod understood this if you read that part of the story.
He was sweating bullets a little
bit. He was sweating bullets because mm-hmm. a king was being born. And so he's trying to figure out how to get this king out of his, to keep his power. But I don't think that we often see Jesus as a king when he's a baby. And then Easter comes and we have to make a decision in that thing, because either he died on a cross and he was just a thug
mm-hmm.
and like every other revolutionary and didn't rise from the dead, or it forces us to go, if this dude rose from the dead, holy smokes, he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords.
Yep.
He is the one that we find salvation. This truly is good news that talked about in Christmas, but it's all connected to that. And I think it forces our hand mm-hmm. where Christmas doesn't. There is a study out that says 45% of Americans wish that Christmas would just pass by. They don't really like it.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think there's probably a multitude of facts that go into that. I mean, some people, you know, there's a lot of commercialism like we hit on.
Yep.
There is a lot of to-do around Christmas. I mean, even if you're just, you know, got a small family, you still have gifts to buy and preparations to make and expectations, and there's dinners to go to and obligations and all that stuff. And, you know, the Grinch who stole Christmas, people like the Grinch for a reason, because, you know, you can get a little grinchy in your heart with that stuff.
Yeah. So there's, I think, multiple reasons. Mm-hmm. One is mm-hmm. credit card debt goes up astronomically. Yep. I think there's another one that, you know, sometimes people don't like going to their in-laws, or they're forced in this one moment to go and see family.
It's broken families, and often the season reminds people of the contrast between what they wanted growing up and what they got in terms of family, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's even movies like Four Christmases or something like that, and they come from two split families and they have mm-hmm. to go to four different Christmases and they have to make time for this. And it's just this crazy ridiculousness. I think that there is this expectation that it's going to be the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you of good cheer. But, you know, with even the holiday greetings and the gay happy meetings, I think for some people it's not. Mm-hmm. I was talking with somebody, one person that doesn't really care for the holidays, and I really like Christmas. I really like Thanksgiving. I like Easter too. And I said, well, why don't you like this? And their response was very telling. They said, you know, every other time of the year, you know you're alone. But in this moment, you really feel that, because you feel like everyone else is out there. Everyone else is at a holiday party. Everyone else is out there, you know, getting the Lexus with the bow on it for Christmas. Like, who does that, right? I don't understand that commercial.
I've never met that person.
Right. Like, but like, who gets like, would you do that, like, without talking to your wife? I'm going to get you a Lexus.
That's what I think every time. Like, I can't imagine. Just be like, I bought you a car. She'd be like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the, like, if you didn't have like the dealership, like, we're going to bring this back about like 10 a.m. because she's probably going to want a different color and maybe a little different model. Yeah. But this is my best guess. Like, unless you had them. Yeah.
I don't know.
I just do not. I totally don't understand that whole idea. But anyway, I think those are some of the components that push us in a direction to not like Christmas and to it to be not the happiest, most wonderful time of the year. Partially because we know that we're not getting any gifts from anybody and we're not giving.
It's like Charlie Brown looking in his mailbox for Christmas cards.
That's
and
right.
Got none.
Mm-hmm. But I think the real story of the scripture isn't about that. It's not, you know, this great holiday. It's actually this picture of humanity being rescued. And it's the gift, really, that keeps on giving.
The whole year through, Clark.
Yeah,
that's right.
Well, because you unwrap this Christmas gift of Jesus and you start to go, wait a second, who is this? What does this actually mean? What is God actually doing through all of this? And I think that's what the scripture is trying to push us toward. That's what I think that the writers of this are wanting us to understand and to see is that when we unwrap this, that there is something incredible in this that is made to be shouted at the mountaintops, and that is a savior is born.
Because it's the forever gift. It's the true forever gift. It's not a diamond.
Right.
You know, God's saying, this is for you, for my people, forever, for eternity. And you have that option now as we look as he gets older and you hit the Easter story. Like, you have a choice to make.
Yeah.
And you either – you ride with him or you don't. And and we have to make that decision. And I think that when you start putting it in that light and start examining your thoughts on Christmas in that way, that it isn't – it's not the commercial stuff. It's not the gift that we're going to get and, you know, 3 months down the road, the battery's dying. We're not playing with the toy anymore. Like, this is a forever thing. This is an eternal life-altering,
changing
thing.
Well, all of our guilt, all of our shame, all of the things that we kind of identify with – guilt is that we know we did something wrong. Shame is the idea that that is who we are. Is put on this baby in 30 years. It's put on this baby. And all of that is taken away. And there's freedom in that. There's joy in that. There's salvation in that. And it's as you said, an eternal package. It's not just for now. It's forever that this happens. And it's not something that our credit cards can buy. It's not something that we can give somebody else. It's the thing that splits heaven and the angels come and scream about is the very nature that there's good news, that salvation has come. The scriptures tell us that the angels don't even understand grace. They're like, what is this? And they're trying to peek down at it. And they come and they shout because Jesus has come and the Savior of the world is come, the long-awaited Messiah, the Anointed One.
So we're doing something cool here at Evangel this year to celebrate Christmas. John, you want to share a little bit about what we're up to?
Yeah, we've got a special theater-only movie event that we're going to be hosting here at Evangel on December 10th and 11th. We're going to be showing a movie called Christmas with the Chosen, and it's going to be a great opportunity to see in vivid color and movement the story of the birth of Jesus, maybe in a way that you haven't experienced before. It's going to be a really great time. We'll be converting this place into kind of a movie theater experience with popcorn and candy, and so we'll also have childcare available on that December 10th. It's a Friday at 6:30, and then the December 11th viewing will be at 1:30. You can buy tickets at evangelup.org.
The tickets are $5, and just so you know, we have had some really great donors that have come alongside us and said, hey, we're going to reduce this cost. Really, or if you buy a ticket for $5, that ticket actually costs $13.
Mm-hmm. It's a great deal, and it's going to be a really great time. And, you know, this will be one of those things. I encourage you, bring family, bring friends. It's going to be a great way to celebrate this Christmas season and be reminded of really what it's about.
Yeah, and there's popcorn and movie candy for free.
And
good point.
For free.
For free. Yep,
included in that price. So we hope that you guys would invite your friends, bring your family out, and it's a great opportunity to share what Christmas is about.
Yeah, get your tickets at evangelup.org.
And that's all we have for this episode of Pearls and Swine. If you liked what we chatted about today or just want to hear any of our previous podcasts, you can find us on any of your podcast devices, Apple, Google, the whole bit. Just search out Evangel Houghton Podcast. You can check us out on our website, evangelup.org. They'll be there as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments or want us to chat about something specific, you can email me at travis@evangelup.org. We look forward to seeing you guys this Friday evening at 6:30 p.m. here for The Chosen with childcare included, and also the matinee showing on Saturday at 1:30. Thanks, guys.